This is Pat Lackey of Where Have You Gone, Andy Van Slyke, and you're listening to the weekly podcast at RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You got the Red Hot Mama coming at you from Red's Land on this Monday, September 23 in 2006.
September.
Welcome, Reds fans. You got the welcome, baseball fans. You got the Red Hot Mama coming at you from Red's Land on this in October 23. It's a Monday. It's 2006. It's cold outside. What more do you want from me? I've been drinking wine. And we've been talking about all there isn't to talk about here in Red's Land this week. What's going on, Crack Technical Staff?
Nothing. You're a little bit tired.
You're looking hot. It is late. It's 10:30.
Stupid Reds Roundtable.
Yeah, the stupid Reds Roundtable and the celebrating my father's would-have-been birthday out at the Red Lobster tonight kept me from getting a podcast recorded at a reasonable hour. But here we are at 10:30. Up later than we really should be, since we got to get up when the alarm goes off at 5 a.m.
That's right.
But, you know, that's how important the podcast is to us here.
And that's why I'm not going to stay up tonight. And
that's why it's going up on Tuesday?
Right.
I probably had to find something to put up on Red Hot Mama tonight, then. In any event, so yeah, we did the Reds Roundtable tonight. And,
how'd that go?
You know, it went all right. What, about six people showed up? It was not the teeming horde that we sometimes have. So that made it a little less chaotic.
That's good. I think there was one time where there were just too many people. And
I think so.
Didn't have any rhyme or reason or any structure to it.
And I pretty much dedicated myself to the smart-ass comment this time. I wasn't really looking to contribute a whole lot that was concrete, a whole lot that was substantial. I think that was a good thing.
But were you willing to contribute anything that was quick-rete?
Quick-rete. Red Hot Mama Podcast, brought to you by Quick-rete.
If only. Hey, any sponsors out there?
What? Quick-rete? Quick-rete. Remember that Quick-rete commercial where the guy has the tube of the Quick-rete and he fills in the crack and the crack is making fun of him because his pants are falling down? Yeah. I love that commercial.
Yeah. Like, stop annoying cracks. Get rid of annoying cracks.
That's quality.
And then at the end, it kind of like focuses on the guy's plumber butt.
Yeah.
I think that would be painful.
To put Quick-rete in your ass?
Yeah. Then you'd be a conehead.
Let's not find out.
Okay.
Anyway, so what do we got? What do we got going on this week? Not a lot going on in Red's Land. There's been a whole lot of talk about the potential.
Oh, come on, come on! Brad Salmon moved to the.
What the? Who the hell is Brad Salmon?
He was probably like a reliever type pitcher guy, minor leagues. They probably should have brought him up last year instead of trading away their season for other teams' relievers.
Yeah. Well, you know, not this is kind of a tangent, but I'd like to point out the fact that. Dave Williams went to the postseason. Do you think maybe they gave up on Dave Williams a little bit too soon?
He had an option.
He had a friggin' option.
Kresge seems to have a hang-up about people that O'Brien or even Bowden got.
Yeah.
Like, if they're not his, he's willing to cut bait with them a lot faster than perhaps he should.
If they aren't actually part of his vision for making the Reds into the Twins' twin, then it is not in line with what he wants. Get rid of him. I'm not sold on the Skrimsky here.
Well, character. Williams isn't in the postseason anymore.
No, he's
they
not.
Got eliminated.
Nevertheless, he got a lot further than any of the other. And what was the other Red, former Red, that made it to the postseason?
Well, Casey.
Josh Hancock.
Oh, that's right.
Josh Hancock.
Yeah.
Snacks in there even today.
That's right. He's still there. Him and Casey. It's going to come down to them. Game 7, Snacks versus Casey.
Snacks versus... Ooh, who would I root for? Well, Casey, obviously.
Obviously, Casey.
I never even liked Snacks that well. Snacks! Anyway.
So speaking of... where were we?
We were talking
possible
about
trades.
Trades. I was bringing up the fact that there's been a lot of discussion about Dunn being traded. A lot of people are saying Dunn is as good as gone. And it seems like the Red Sox are a very common... location that people are saying he's going to end up at.
I don't know. Do they have any starting pitching that the Reds can fleece from them again?
I don't know. I don't know, but man, I mean, the defensive outfield of Pena and Dunn, do they really want to do that? Seriously, aren't they?
That'd be awesome.
I mean, they're going to have a freaking superhero in center.
Well, they are. The Red Sox are a team that do value on base percentage, so I can see some attraction there.
They can do that? You think they'd DH him? They could DH him.
They have an awful lot of DHs already.
I suppose that's true.
I don't know.
whatever.
It does seem likely that he'll be traded.
So, yeah, Dunn could be on his way. I just hope that they can get something for him. I'm not against the idea of trading Dunn. But, you know, I'd really like to see them get a lot,
you know what,
hell of a lot more than they got out of Kearns. Hello.
Oh, yeah, they're going to get, like, at least a closer.
I'm going to kick your ass for saying that. Hello, people. Now, whatever the idea, I know that there's a whole lot of people who are on this closer bandwagon. Man, if there's one need we need to address, it's the closer. You know what? There's not one. There's no closer need we need to address. We are doing just fine as far as friggin' closers go. Hello, how many of the games that the Reds lost last season would have been helped by a friggin' closer? You know, we have a closer. His name is Eddie Guardado. You know,
he's a free agent.
He's also freaking injured.
Yeah.
And he did help things out. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, the games were lost before, you know, the lost games were lost before he even got there.
You make your bullpen stronger by getting starting pitching.
Hmm.
The more, the better the starters you have.
That's deep, man.
Yeah.
You know who I'd like to see in our bullpen? Williams. That's who I'd like to see in our freaking bullpen.
Now? Or
No, I'd like him to have been dealt with appropriately at the time. That's what I'm saying. What benefit did they have by getting rid of Williams? He had an option.
He had an option. That's what the Mets did. Just grabbed him, threw him into the minors.
Okay.
Anyway.
Enough of that. What else? There was also a lot of talk about Aurelia. Aurelia. Rich Aurelia is getting a whole lot of interest in the
And you
media.
Got to talk to him last
That's right. Time. I got to chat on the phone with Rich Aurelia. It was, chatted on the phone with his wife. I chatted on the phone with him. We talked about his problems and getting to the post office. Because my interview got delayed because he had to get to the post office.
But he actually called you?
Yeah, you know, I really did think he was going to pull an Arroyo on me there for a minute because I wouldn't feel like it became like half an hour past the time he was supposed to call and he didn't call. I'm like, oh man, I've been stood up again. And then, you know, because Raquel and Arroyo did those concerts together, I thought maybe they were in cahoots. Maybe it was like, and like, yeah, this is stupid. He doesn't even know. Arroyo doesn't even know I make fun of him. He doesn't know I exist. But, you know, my paranoid side was going, like, yeah, they're in cahoots. She set me up. Bitch set me up. But then she calls me, or she called me. Yeah, called me and said, like, he had to get to the post office. I'll call you later. And then she sends me an email. Yeah, he's going to be even later. He's got to get to the post office. And then he actually called me, and it was really late, and I was very tired, but I think I got through it. You know, yeah, apparently I got a B on it, but that's fine.
That's okay.
I'll take a B. It's better than average. So, yeah, and then I got an email today from his wife talking about his partnership in the Smacktones, that's what, smaktones.com.
That's what you have to put up for your entry tonight.
Oh, that's what I'm going to put up for the entry tonight, because it is the awesome. It is the awesome.
So, okay, in other baseball news, Lupinella went to the Cubs.
Yeah, I hear he's Hispanic. Who knew?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, me neither.
So you think that's going to help them?
Help them
not finish in last?
Oh, no.
I think they'll beat the Pirates now.
You think that the Cubs plus Pinella is greater than the Pirates? I guess
right.
I could buy that. That's about all I'd buy, though. I mean, greater than the Brewers?
I don't know, because there's...
Astros?
They're...
Cardinals.
Their owner and GM, their GM is talking about
the Reds
bringing back. The Cubs GM is talking about bringing back Wood, signing another injured starter they had all of last year and recounting
awesome.
On. So like it's the same old, same old. It's like, yeah, we've had these guys forever and they've never really amounted to anything and they keep failing us, but we're gonna keep bringing them back because sometime,
sometime they're gonna pay off,
or I'm gonna get fired. You know,
yeah, well, I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet.
Maybe next year. There's always next year.
There is always next year. Well, you know, they went and got rid of their manager. And after that comes the general manager, right? I mean, that's the order of things.
So.
That's the natural progression of things.
We'll see.
Yeah. You know, if they wanted to start with our manager. Anyway. So, what else we got?
The World Series. Kenny Rogers had crap on his hand last night.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got to, actually, you know, I've got to admire a guy who knows how to work a loogie into his baseball repertoire. I think a lot of the young pitchers today wouldn't even know how to do it. I think that you give a little glob of nastiness to Aaron Harang, and he's not even going to know how to put it on the ball. What do I even do with this man? I don't know. I realize it's cheating.
Maybe. I realize it's not confirmed. La Russa never challenged it.
Yeah.
The umpires were close enough to have seen it, I would think.
But
and know, they didn't say anything, so...
As far as my opinion goes, like, you know, do what you can get away with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it's the other team's responsibility to call you on it. That might be going too far. That might be a little cynical. You know, it is cheating. I don't approve of anything Barry Bonds does. But then again, it's like, you know, you say, okay, Rogers, man, your hands are dirty. Go wash them.
Well, the rule is actually that pitchers are supposed to be ejected if they're caught on the mound with foreign substances.
He wasn't caught. And then, you know, but they tell him to go wash his hands. He washed his hands. Everything fine. You don't tell Barry Bonds, okay, like, you know, go wash your hands. And you stop being all juiced up. It just doesn't work that way, you know?
No.
It's like, what, have a colonic?
See if a blood transfusion?
Clears you out. Blood transfusion.
Oh, okay.
Muscle transfusion?
There you go.
Brain transplant?
What? Never mind. anyway, do you have a prediction for the series? It's tied at one
now. Well, you know, I was surprised that the Cardinals... I shouldn't have been surprised that the Cardinals took the first one, because I knew the Tigers were going to be really tired going into it. You know, they're rusty, they're kind of... I mean, you get tired, you know, you sit around waiting for something to happen, you get
it kind did of take
bored,
forever.
Tired, weary, maybe is the word better than tired.
Bored.
Whereas the Cardinals had some, you know, momentum, some inertia going into it, but... I gotta think that the Tigers are ultimately a superior team. Then again, you know, everyone's saying that, and I'm really afraid that the Cardinals are gonna win it.
That would suck.
And then I don't know what the hell. I hate to think that I am rooting for an American League team. I just can't even believe it. But yeah. Sean Casey's on the team. I love Casey.
Yep.
And he looks good. He looks like he's taking.
He drove in a run last night.
Yeah, that's right. He looked good
Came
doing it.
Came through with two outs.
That was a great Casey hit. That was the definitive Casey hit that I remember from that was. That was what Casey always did, right? Those, like, bloop doubles out into the...
Yep.
And, I guess it doesn't really qualify as a bloop. Maybe it does.
I honestly can't remember.
It seems like it's a little deep for a bloop, but it was a double. Right. You know, a nice little double into the outfield.
It's only a single.
No, it's just because he's slow.
Yeah.
He's not a small boy.
My fearless prediction is 5 games, Tigers.
Wow, so you think they're going to take the next 3?
Yeah.
That is pretty fearless.
I don't know.
All right. Well, that's good. I'll give it to them in 5. I watched the game last night. Cardinals looked outclassed.
Yeah, they did.
Outclassed.
So I've got some...
what's on the news?
Silly news stories that aren't really so silly.
Okay.
Okay, did you hear what happened? They're all kind of old because they were... Supposed to go last week, but then you got to frickin' interview Rich Aurelia.
Yeah, sorry to mess up your schedule.
Gosh. Anyway, did you hear what happened to broadcaster Steve Lyons? No? Okay, this was back during the A's-Tigers series. He was the color commentator, the former player.
Uh-huh.
Lou Piniella was also there. And Piniella was talking about production from the A's shortstop and used some... colorful, nonsensical analogy about how the shortstop's offensive production would be like finding a wallet on a Friday night and looking for one on Sunday and Monday, too. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Out of context, I don't know what it means. But
No, I know what it means. I'm with you there.
But then Lyons, a few minutes later, Piniella speaks a few phrases in Spanish.
Yeah, as I recall, they were not really Spanish. They were kind of Spanglish.
Yeah, Spanglish.
Kinda.
And the Reds, Tom Brenneman, who was the...
Yeah, now the Reds, yeah.
Yeah, who was the play-by-play guy, said, "The bilingual Lou Piniella." And this is where it gets good. Lyons says, "Lou's hablando some Espanol there, and I'm still looking for my wallet. I don't understand him, and I don't want to sit close to him now."
Okay.
The three laughed and continued calling the game, and after the game, Fox fired Lyons for racially insensitive comments.
Okay, number one, what the hell's up with Tom Brenneman, man? He just cannot keep his nose out of friggin' trouble. Is he going to come to Cincinnati and be, like, inciting riots? Number two.
On the newly remodeled Fountain Square.
Number two, I'm pretty sure that Lou Piniella is not a race. That's all I'm saying. I mean, like, speaking Spanish, not a race. Therefore, cannot be racially insensitive. You could say it's culturally insensitive.
I guess.
You could say it's culturally insensitive.
Doesn't really make any sense.
Not racially insensitive.
It's kind of stupid.
Three, I don't really think that it's culturally insensitive. But, you know, whatever they want to do, I'm not going to tell them they can't fire whomever they want to fire.
Sure. Well, something similar happened in NASCAR. A broadcaster by the name of Ray Dunlap was interviewing Michael Waltrip. Waltrip threw out a stat saying that 10% of NASCAR fans were Hispanic or Latino. Mm-hmm. And this set Dunlap off. Basically, he said that the only people he sees that are Hispanic at the racetrack were working there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then he started babbling in German.
Okay.
Crazy, huh?
Does he see a lot of Germans at the racetrack?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. It's like a whole, like, European thing, like French or something. I don't know. I mean, I hear about it because we live in Indiana and you hear about racing, but...
F1 envy? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't pay any attention.
So Lyons gets fired. Guess what this guy got?
An award? A medal?
For something that was far more racially.
Okay, what?
1 week suspension. Oh. Nice, huh?
Well, you know, it's a... You know, who's even watching that racing stuff? A bunch of Germans. Who cares?
10% Hispanic and Latino, apparently.
Apparently. Yeah, but he didn't say it in Espanol. So. Okay, that's enough. Moving right along. Get myself fired for being culturally insensitive.
We missed a birthday last week as well. A very special birthday. The Wave turned 25.
All right.
It was apparently...
You mean the Wave, like everybody stand up and raise your hands in the air like you're a lame ass?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Some guy invented it from from San Jose.
And he's admitting it?
Yeah. George Henderson, a 62-year-old professional cheerleader.
All right. So how do you... I wonder how exactly one communicates that to the crowd.
I don't know. He must have been... He was working the game. He first premiered it... Well, 25 years ago, 1981, it was a playoff game between the A's and the Yankees in Oakland, and he was the cheerleader, one of the head cheerleaders there, and he got the crowd going.
Okay, one.
I don't know.
To I'd do like this, to video, like, so but... is he, like, explaining it to one section? Like, okay, you guys, when I run right. by here, I want you to stand up. It's going to look really cool when we get the whole group going. Number two, a dude cheerleader? In what year was this?
1981.
There's a dude cheerleader in 1981? There aren't any dude cheerleaders now.
It's baseball. They're not going to let women in.
That's funny, man. Nicely done. I approve. What else? You got anything else?
There's one other thing, but I was going to comment on my favorite Wave of all time.
What's that?
In the Mel Brooks movie, the Robin Hood Men in Tights. Remember the arrow competition? One of the arrows ricochets and flies under the stands, and all the guys go, woo! That was
Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Classic comedy gold.
Man. That is quality movie literature right there. Yeah. What
okay,
else you got?
Well, one final thing. It's a heartwarming tale of a youth baseball coach who was sentenced to 1 to 6 years in prison.
For being culturally insensitive?
No, nothing like that.
What did he do?
He offered an 8-year-old money to being an autistic teammate so he couldn't play.
And how? What did he get?
1 to 6 years, some community service type stuff.
Oh, and community service. I said, okay.
Yeah. So
Does he have any explanation for why he would do this? Is he hoping to wake him up?
No, he didn't want him to have to play on the team. The mildly autistic boy, the coach didn't want him to play because he wasn't as good as the other teammates.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
That's some sick shit right there.
That is.
Wow. Okay, well, you know what? Krivsky looks better.
There you go.
Time.
Just compare him to youth baseball coaches who are
hitting
intentionally
autistic
maiming
autistic children.
Autistic children.
That's awesome. And did the kid take the money? Is my question.
The kid hit he followed orders.
Did he get the $25?
I don't know if he got the money. The kid said he purposely threw a ball that hit the autistic child in the groin and another that hit him in the ear.
Oh my gosh, he could have killed him.
I don't know if... No word if he got his money.
Yes, and how many, like, Ken Griffey Jr. cards he got out of that deal. Okay, well, in any event, on that cheerful note, I guess that I'm going to go and write up a story about smacktones.com and see if I can get that up online. And until next week, hang in there and go Reds.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
The Red Hot Mama podcast is produced weekly in the heartland of America. We'd love to hear anything you have to say. Send an email, post a comment on the website, or leave a voicemail. The email address is rhm@red-hot-mama.com. The webpage is red-hot-mama.com. And our voicemail line is 513-729-7106.